The appellation hero is given by many men and women today to those whom the secular culture adulates. But rarely does our culture name as hero somebody who reflects gospel values. The criterion for hero in our secular culture is based on other and varied attributes and accomplishments. For us, as followers of Jesus, the only authentic hero is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is everything that God intended a human being to be. And by studying the four Gospels, we learn about Jesus' heroic deeds. We hear his values and attitudes in his teachings. Next to Jesus, for us Christians, our only legitimate heroes are the saints. And today I want to tell a few stories about some of those saints. Those saints, that great array of men and women over the last 2,000 years since Jesus, whom the church holds up for us as portraits of those who bear a family resemblance to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is, those who have lived as children of God in the world. Those who have lived the values and attitudes of Jesus in the Beatitudes. Those whom the book of Revelation says are the ones who came from the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is, those who, in the language of the church, have led lives of heroic virtue. So today I want to tell you some stories about these witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses. And the first story I want to tell you about is that of St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin of Tours was of Hungarian origin, born in the 4th century. And when he was 17 years old, he was a catechumen preparing for baptism. And he was a soldier in the Imperial Guard. And one day he was riding his horse into town, and on a winter's day, and he saw a freezing, starving beggar at the city gates. And St. Martin took his military cloak, and he took his sword, and he cut his cloak in half. And he took that half of the cloak and wrapped it around the beggar. Well, that night, St. Martin had a dream. And in his dream, he saw Jesus and all the saints and angels crowded in his bedroom, standing around his bed. And Jesus was talking to the saints and angels about Martin. And Jesus was wearing that half of his cloak that he had put on the beggar. And Jesus said to the saints and angels, he said, "Look at Martin here. He's only a catechumen. And yet he has covered me with his garment." Well, the next morning, Martin flew to be baptized. So about 3 years later, when Martin was 20 years old, there was a barbarian invasion of Gaul. And Julius Caesar summoned all the troops before him. And Martin realized that this was the moment of decision for him. This is when he had to take Jesus seriously in what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And so, before Julius Caesar, Martin boldly stepped forward and said, "Up to now, I have served you as a soldier. Let me now serve Christ. I am a soldier of Christ, and it is not lawful for me to fight." Well, Julian stormed and fumed and called Martin a coward, but Martin said, "No. Tomorrow I will stand in the battle line unarmed, and I will advance alone against the enemy in the name of Jesus." Well, Julian didn't take him up on it and threw him in prison instead. But once Martin got out of prison, he went to France, where he eventually became Bishop of Tours and was a great light in the church in the 4th century and was a great peacemaker, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. His feast day is coming up soon on November 11th. Another person I want to tell you about is Blessed Charles de Foucault, who was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI. Charles de Foucault was born into a privileged, well-to-do family in France, born in 1858. And when he was 16 years old, he lost his faith and proceeded to lead a pretty wild life as a young man of privilege. So wild that, in fact, when he was lieutenant in the French army, he was dismissed for indiscipline and notorious misconduct. When he was 25 and 26 years of age, he undertook a dangerous mission for the French Geographical Society to survey Morocco, which was a closed society at that time, to Europeans. He went there incognito and lived there in disguise. But while he was there, he was so moved by the devotion and prayer life of the Muslims. He returned to France, and at the age of 28, he said to himself, you know, if God really exists, then it makes no sense but for me to give my entire life to him. And he was converted to Jesus Christ at the age of 28. Martin was fascinated by the Word of God becoming flesh and dwelling for most of his life in the most obscure place, Nazareth, who for most of his life lived a life of obscurity and silence and manual labor among the poorest of the poor. And Charles wanted to imitate Jesus as closely as he could. And that quest to imitate Jesus eventually led him to be living in the very remotest regions of the Sahara Desert, living among primitive nomadic peoples, none of whom were Christian or Catholic, so that he could bring Christ and the church to a place where it may not have ever been before. And he simply lived among those peoples like Jesus did at Nazareth, in silence and obscurity, sharing their life of poverty, living their life, and being the presence of Christ there, wanting to be a universal brother to these primitive peoples. Well, he was eventually violently and painfully killed by terrorists on December 1st, 1916. That's his feast day, December 1st. Finally, I want to tell you the story about Edith Stein. Edith Stein was the 11th child born into an Orthodox Jewish family in 1891. And Edith, when she was 13 years old, declared herself to be an atheist. Edith was a young woman of great intellectual power, and she became one of the first women students at the University of Göttingen, where she devoted herself to the study of philosophy. She earned her doctorate at the young age of 23. She became a star pupil of Edmund Husserl, the father of modern phenomenology. But Edith, as a philosopher, her great driving thirst was the search for truth. And one day she was visiting some Protestant Christian friends for some time, and one night she wanted to find something to read, and so she was looking around their library, and she came across the autobiography of St. Teresa of Jesus of Avila. And she began reading it, and she couldn't put it down. And she read it, stayed up all night reading the autobiography of St. Teresa until the first streaks of dawn came through the window, and she closed the book having finished it, and she said, I found it. This is truth. And she was converted to Jesus Christ. Well, when the Nazis began taking over Germany, the Nazi government, when it became impossible for Edith Stein as a Jew to continue her academic life, she fulfilled her long-held dream and joined the community of St. Teresa of Jesus, the Discalced Carmelite Nuns. But as things really started heating up in Germany, her sisters smuggled her to a Carmelite monastery in Holland. And then when the Nazis took over in Holland, Edith Stein eventually was arrested, and with her sister Rosa, who had since become a Catholic and lived next door to the monastery, they were taken away by the Nazis. And Edith Stein said to her sister Rosa, she said, "Come, Rosa, we go for our people, the Jews." And Edith Stein was sent to Auschwitz. And witnesses say that talk about her courage and composure and how she occupied herself with prayer while devoting herself to terrified children and consoling mothers who had been separated from their husbands. And she died, she was killed at Auschwitz on August 9th, 1942, which is her feast day, August 9th. So, church, today we honor our heroes who are alive in Christ, whom we can ask for their prayers as we strive and struggle to live the teachings of Jesus Christ, and who are here today gathered around the Eucharistic table with us, with all the saints and angels. To the honor and glory of Christ forever, amen.